Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University.
This is Emma Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti and Pastor Kyle Horner. The Super Bowl is over.
Woo!
Kansas City Chiefs beat the San Francisco 49ers 31-20 to win the Super Bowl. Man, it was a pretty good game.
I'll tell you what, the fourth quarter was pretty amazing.
for three and a half quarters, it looked like defense wins championship.
I was just going to say, if you like football, the game was really good. Because there was some great defensive plays in there, and you know, and then you know, Mahomes made some
magical.
He made what he does. Yeah.
For me, it came down to one team in Kansas City had a quarterback who is capable of putting the team on his shoulders and winning the game, and the other team was reliant. They got there on the strength of their run game and their defense. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo threw only 8 passes in the NFC Championship game. He completed, I think, 11 in the first game against Minnesota. And when forced to have to win the game, he couldn't do it. And it doesn't mean he can at some point in his career be that kind of guy, that franchise quarterback. But right now, he is more or less a game manager. And Patrick Mahomes is an elite quarterback.
100% he's a game manager. At this point in time in his career, no doubt. I think, Rob, we see that the difference wasn't in the first three quarters, right? Because in the first three quarters, Garoppolo really, he was 18 for 21, I think, at one point, or his stats were fine. But in the fourth quarter, where they needed him to rise and actually make the throws that needed to be made, he just couldn't do it.
Well, it was an awesome week. I was there in Miami the entire week, 7 days, 8 days, whatever,
8 days.
whatever it was.
I was counting.
Who's counting? I don't know.
Not me at all.
I had an opportunity to really do a lot of interviews, and interviews where I have sat on Radio Row, and I was hosting podcasts for the AP, and there was just one guest after another, and also in the middle of that, talking sports, talking whatever, most of them have a product that they want to sell. Many of them were people of faith, Christian faith.
Awesome thing.
And I came away with a list. Like, I can't wait to get to all of these episodes that we have coming up in the next 3 months.
We have some really great interviews. You did a great job, Rob. Really, you did.
Excited.
Emmett Smith. I caught up with Emmett on a red carpet for NFL Honors, man. Wow. And that was so cool. Dak Prescott, you know. This is Eagle territory here in Philly, but we got to Jason Witt. So I got, like, all the Cowboys, right? I got them out of the way. They had the Hall of Fame announcements.
Yes.
Was able to talk to Troy Polamalu, Donnie Shell, Harold Carmichael. Come on, for the Eagles.
He's so deserving.
Yes, he is. Yep. Donnie Shell, Cliff Harris, who played for.
Wow. And my favorite, by the way.
Which one?
Number 16, Joe Montana.
Oh, Joe Montana. Yeah, I mean, Joe Montana.
The GOAT, I'm just saying.
Let me tell you, that interview with Joe
he
was
me the
like,
boss, so I'm good. I'm happy.
That was incredible. The way that interview transpired, so it was on Friday. And they had set up Joe for me, Katie Couric, and Gary Vaynerchuk, all through different PR firms. So they were all set up for different times. And then it was supposed to be Gary, Joe, Katie, but they were all back to back to back. So as it turns out, Gary V's a little bit running late, right? So Gary V bleeds into, and then Joe's running late. So I'm like, all right, good, because I don't have to. Pick one or the other.
Right,
and you don't want to make Joe Montana wait.
Nope.
So then Katie Couric's the only one of the three on time. So I get Gary done and finished up with him quickly because he had to be on the move. I didn't have a lot of time. It was great. And now Katie comes in on time and Joe's still not there. And the publicist is texting me. Joe's on his way and I'm sitting down with, I don't want to blow off Katie Couric.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm talking to her. And Joe arrives at my table. And fortunately, they knew each other. So I don't want to rush Katie off, but I want to try and transition into Joe.
Which is cool. That's
so
smooth.
I'm like, and we got Joe Montana here. And by the way, Katie, you know, I wanted to name my daughter Melina. I wanted to name her Montana, but Remy wouldn't go for it. And Katie thought it was a great story. And she's like, oh, you got to tell Joe. I'll introduce your next guest. So she introduces Joe.
That's so professional.
And we just
so
go
cool.
from one to the next. Wow. And this way I didn't have to be like, hey, get out. I didn't want to do any of that. And so, it worked out beautiful. She was so nice too. Martha Stewart stopped by. Martha
Stewart. You had some great.
So cool.
Right? Lily Singh and Busy Phillips. Let me tell you something about Lily Singh. Okay. I had no idea who Lily Singh is. I Googled her. Okay.
That helps, by the way.
I Googled Lily as soon as they said, hey, do you want to have Lily? She's got 1.7 million followers on Twitter. She's got like tens of millions of followers on YouTube. She's just rose into stardom and has a late night show on NBC. And I was like, wow, okay, yeah, oh, sure. I knew Busy Phillips from White Chicks, I think it was, the movie. She was on the movie White Chicks. She was on a lot of other things. So it was fun. But Marshall Faulk, Jerome Bettis, just Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer. But here's the cool thing. All of these, they're players, they're entertainers, athletes, all of that. One interview with someone who is in a position of ownership, and that was Clark Hunt, the owner for the Kansas City Chiefs. So he's our guest this week because when Kansas City won the AFC Championship, Clark Hunt stood on that stage and accepted the Lamar Hunt Trophy, which is named after
his
dad.
Father, right?
His dad.
What an emotional moment, right? Amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Founder of the AFL.
Yes.
Founder of the Chiefs.
And namer of the Super Bowl, by the way. Lamar Hunt came up with the name Super Bowl.
I didn't know
that. His daughter was playing with a Super Bowl one day.
Wow.
And at least this is the story.
Oh,
this is the story.
So cool.
And she bounced and he picked it up and it said Super Bowl and he said, that's it, Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Yeah, because before that it was just the NFL championship
game. And he said it was too big of a, like, it didn't flow off the tongue, right? Yeah,
Super Bowl is great. How about that?
Wow.
So Clark standing on stage at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City and his exact quote was, I want to thank the, he's holding the trophy with his dad's name on it. And he says, I want to thank the Lord for blessing us with this opportunity. Right. The glory belongs to him. Man, I thought it was pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Like for an NFL team owner to say that, we hear the players all the time,
right?
We hear players, we hear all, but here is a guy who is in position of ownership in this era now of political correctness and sensitivities and all that stuff. To hear Clark Hunt say that, I was just blown away. I was like, that's amazing. And then I just did some research and looked into it and found out that Clark Hunt, since 2014, through a partnership with the FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I'm sure everyone out there knows that, which, by the way, you and I are going to be speaking at Delcy High School tomorrow.
Cool.
Thursday the 15th, whatever day that is. I'm not sure. Thursday the 15th. I don't know what today is right now. I'm still on Miami traffic.
I'm so sorry that you're still on Miami traffic.
You and I, Delcy High School. So if I didn't tell you that already, there you go. FCA, get ready for that. But through the partnership with the FCA, and since 2014, Clark Hunt, their local churches are involved, but he has offered their fans a non-denominational pregame chapel service, and it's the first kind of chapel service on-site faith event in the NFL, and they've been doing it since 2014, and they do it every week that the Chiefs have a noon home game because, as he explains, and you'll hear the interview coming up, that the fans are probably on a Sunday going to miss your worship opportunities because you're going to the game, and he's giving them that opportunity. So I thought that was incredible. I've always wanted to lobby the NFL. I hate Sunday football.
I
just hate it. Yeah, I don't get an opportunity. I've missed so many
opportunities
Sundays
to be with family
to be
in
here.
Church.
And Remy's coming here. And man, Pastor Kyle, you scared me that one time, maybe two, three, four times, where you told me the ratio of children, daughters, right? You said daughters who don't go to church with their dads. What is that?
It's like I think it's something like 12%. I'll have to look back at it, but it's like 12% actually continue to go to church when they grow up.
Wow.
And it's you know, whatever, 88 or percent that actually choose not to.
How about that?
At kids, because look, I mean, it's one thing for mom to take you to church, and, yeah. And look, if you're a single parent out there and you have to be mom and dad, right. Man, you know, God's so covering all that. Yeah. So
He's
there's
got
a,
you.
There's
yeah.
amazing that, but Rob, it is, it's important. They, you know, God has set it up for, you know, moms and dads to partner in this thing together mm-hmm. and for dads to be spiritual leaders in their home. And when we don't do that, it creates vacancy that no one else can take, not another person. So I do think, I think it's essential. Now, you and I both know we deal with men who have
yeah.
jobs on Sundays. And so I think it is important that we find other ways to make sure, and you and Remy do a great job of this, to make sure that our children, see us lead spiritually, yeah. that it's not just kind of a, hey, I can't go to church and I have my own private time with God. I still love
right.
Jesus.
No.
It's no, we lead in different ways. So
well, we love doing the bringing them to Connect Group, and Remy does pick up the slack when I'm at a football game
she
on
does.
Sunday, so that's great, and I appreciate
I
that.
Try when they're not sick. Winter is killing me, man.
Well, this winter was in our area, right? Greater Philadelphia area. Hasn't been cold enough to kill anything. Right, it really hasn't.
I'm done with the classroom. I'm done. Like the teacher sent us a thing. She's like, everybody's sick.
Yeah.
What is happening? I'm like, I
really?
Know.
Yeah, it's true. It's crazy.
It's insane. Well,
and it's cold, and it's 60, and it's 50, and it's all that stuff. But the fact that the Chiefs give their fans an opportunity to do this, it's just incredible.
I want to thank you for that, for digging into that, Rob, because yeah. I didn't know that. And for me, I think it's you know, being a pastor, I think it's an incredible expression
yeah.
because I think what our listeners will hear is him saying it's not just for the fans. It's because I can't go. I can't, you know,
yes,
we're, I'm the owner. I have to be here.
Right.
I have
yeah.
to go to church.
Right.
I want, my family wants to go to church.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we do this together. And because they see it as kind of, you know, that Chiefs Kingdom Nation,
yeah.
they,
so
they
cool.
want to do it together.
Exactly.
I love yeah. that. I thought, you
that
know, I was,
so cool.
I was, man, I wish more NFL teams would get on that.
Well, you know what? I'm going to the NFL owners meetings at the end of March in Palm Beach, Florida.
I'm going to that too.
Okay. She will. Yeah. No, you will be there.
I feel bad for you.
So,
it's horrible.
I told Clark that's the next time I'll have an opportunity to see him, but you best believe I'm going to be putting it in the ear of some
right.
owners.
That's 2014.
Yeah.
I didn't even, like,
yeah,
how has it become so, how's it so hidden that?
It's amazing.
I remember a few years back, our Philly campus pastor and I went to the Thursday night Eagles Carolina game in Carolina, and I was blown away by the fact that they pray. They bring a pastor out on the field. They have everybody in the stand up and say, if you would like to join us for prayer, we're praying. And they prayed in the name of Jesus. Like it
in
was
the
not
Bible Belt.
It was not
right.
But
that's why.
For me,
cool.
I just went, wow. There's something about owners who will stand up and say. I want to. This is family for us. I want to include this in family. And I was blown away by it.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
And what? Maybe this starts a trend. Maybe more mm-hmm. teams will pick up on this. But I wanted to chat with them once I knew that. I wanted to chat with Clark in media night Super Bowl opening. It's called. It's changed names so many times. I think it's called the official title. It's Monday night is Super Bowl opening night. Mm-hmm. So it was at Marlins Park. So we're there. It's wild. Everybody.
It used to be media night,
yeah,
right?
It used to be media night. Now
yeah.
it's opening night. Now
okay.
you got the fans in there, and everybody can
oh,
come.
Oh, wow.
They can listen. Of course, though, it was in Florida. It was at Marlins Park. It resembled a Marlins baseball game. This was the fewest fan attendance I've ever seen
oh,
at a Super Bowl opening night. I mean, I'm looking around. I'm like, this is a Marlins game. There's like, what, 18 people here? There's more media than there are fans. But it's loud. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's wild. There's the quasi-media members.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was a little – this year it was more somber. On that Monday after Kobe Bryant passed away,
that's interesting.
And it was
how did that affect it, Rob? Because
it did.
You know
it
right?
It was more somber. I didn't see as there's often like wild antics by
people
quasi media members
get dressed
right?
up in wedding dresses. Will you marry me?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
By the
Weird
way, Jimmy
things.
Garoppolo did not get a wedding
proposal.
He did not.
That's hurtful.
So Tom Brady still leads him in wedding proposals
and Super Bowl wins.
And Super Bowl wins. So he didn't get any. But there was a female reporter wearing a short white skirt and dress who was asking players to do the floss dance with her.
Oh,
yeah.
They did. That's uncomfortable.
Which they did. Yeah. So there was a little bit of that, but the overall mood was a little bit more somber. So I had an opportunity to catch up with Clark Hunt there, and it was really cool. We talked about it, and you'll hear that interview coming up. But I love what he said, that he gave God the glory because that's who deserves it,
yeah.
Right? And I want to talk about giving credit where credit is due. That's what we're going to talk about today, because covering the Super Bowl and seeing the Chiefs rally for a win and Patrick Mahomes being named Super Bowl MVP, of course, Kyle, you would know this. There's a lot of debate on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Remy, you probably shut it off and weren't paying attention because there were people who wanted, who go there. That's where they go. They go to Twitter to complain. Damian Williams should have been the MVP. Damian Williams had 104 yards rushing, 38-yard touchdown to seal it after the game had been won. But Mahomes threw two picks, his first two career postseason interceptions.
Yeah. Bounced a few passes.
Yeah, but bounced back from that.
Yes.
In crunch time,
agreed.
In the clutch,
agreed.
And led them to three straight scoring drives, threw two touchdown passes, ran for a touchdown. You want to say Super Bowl MVP? I know it's a quarterback bias, but he's the Super Bowl MVP.
It is a quarterback bias, right? On everything, you know, yeah. Like just
even
like the same
overall MVP, yeah, Lamar Jackson.
Of course, no doubt. But I would agree with you, Rob. I mean, look, there's no doubt that he put the team on his back in the last 8 minutes of that game, and they were either going to win or lose because of how he performed. And he left no doubt on the field. He didn't win by three, right? He didn't go down just to kick two field goals. They put 21 points up on the board.
Incredible.
It's impressive. And yes, there's a 49ers breakdown, right?
Yeah.
No doubt on the big play, third and 15, 49ers coverage breakdown. But he was a good enough athlete and quarterback to see the breakdown, to make the throw when he had to happen, to put balls where they needed to be to keep drives alive with his feet and with his arm. To me,
I don't know why there was even a debate. Why Damian Williams, nice game, 104 yards, yeah. 38 on that seal, the touchdown.
Great move, by the way,
game.
On that touchdown to keep his feet in and the ball around, whether it was or wasn't.
This is true.
It was a phenomenal athletic play.
And just all of that, right? And it makes me think about, like, when we in our lives have opportunities to give credit.
Yeah, it's right? Good, Rob.
What do we do? Because I feel like we give credit to the wrong person, just like the people on Twitter who were complaining after the game that Mahomes didn't deserve it. Sometimes I feel like we take the credit for what we don't deserve to take the credit for. And when we put in the work and we get the results and the awards and all those accomplishments that come with them and the accolades, whatever it is that comes along with the hard work, the blood, the sweat, the tears, we feel good about ourselves. And people praise us, and it feels nice. Yeah. But do we give credit where it's due, like Clark Hunt did? Because the glory should be reflected upon the Lord. If we're believers, if we're professing to believe in Christ, the glory should be reflected upon the Lord. And when Clark Hunt does that, to me, like, there's so many Bible verses that you could look through about giving glory to God. I looked at Romans 11:36, and it says, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, God is the source of everything.
Everything.
He gave us everything we have.
In
he
him
gave
we
us
live,
the talent, the
being.
Skill, the opportunity.
Yes.
See, we often talk about the talent and the skill that we have. Mm-hmm. It's God-given, but, oh, I'm so proud of my talent and my skill. But what about the opportunity? Because so many people don't get that opportunity. You think there's people in the NFL right now who are only there because they had an opportunity. Someone saw them.
Right.
Someone gave them a chance. Some of these kids who had nothing as youngsters and came from a broken home, but someone saw them, and maybe they got a scholarship to a college, and then they ended up being a first-round pick. Like, that opportunity that we often overlook, that's a God-given thing. He is all-powerful. He sustains us, and he's the one who rules the world. So all credit, when we want to talk about credit, give this guy credit and that guy credit, all credit is due to him.
Yeah.
That's where credit belongs.
Yeah, I mean, I would 100% agree. I mean, there's, you know, it's the Bible's clear when it talks about sowing and reaping, right? We sow. We definitely put in our faith. We put in our work. We put in our, what our hands can do, but it's God who gives the increase, right? So
right.
Paul planted, Apollos watered, but come on, only God makes something grow. And I think when that becomes the add on to it. I know to God be, I know, yeah, I know God did it, but the real but is, I know, but I worked really hard for it. I did all these things. And it's kind of like, as, you know, as when, as parents, you have a very different perspective than your child does about everything that goes on in the house, right?
Right.
Because they're like, look what I did. And I'm like, did
look
you?
What I did.
Right, exactly. Right. You did that because I paid for the house, right? I set you, I fed you. I paid the electric bill for you to do that.
Yeah.
But, and I think that's sometimes, it's not to diminish the fact that our kids did something, but it is to put it in proper perspective. In Him we live and move and have our being. Mm-hmm. And whatever we do, whether word or deed, we do it all for His glory, and allow that to be glorified.
I listen, it's not easy for a mom, especially like to watch your kids, like you were saying, like, oh, look, mommy, look what I did. Look what I did. Look what I did. I'm like, girl, what did you do? I did everything. Like, that's what I did.
Yeah.
You just came along and you're like, here you go. I mean, I did all that. Like, sometimes we joke with our kids and like, why are you so cute? Then I give you that. And she's like, no, it was God. I'm like, well, yeah.
I taught them that. Every time how'd you get so beautiful? I say, because God made me that way.
I know.
I'm glad they give it back to you.
They dish it right
back. They listen
back.
To Daddy.
They really do.
Yeah,
and it's
cute. They're like, look what I just made with these crayons. And I'm like, I bought the crayons.
I bought the paper. I bought the table you're sitting at. Like, everything.
But
really,
how often, like, if we're honest with ourselves, how often do we do, like, we do, like, when we do that with God, we just forget so often that it really was Him who bought the crayons. It really is Him who gives us the paper. It's Him who gave us the ability to draw anything anyway, and every expression. And so it really is why everything we do shouldn't just bring God glory. It's an act of worship. Mm-hmm. Are we worshiping God with who we are?
Right.
And, you know, there's this moment in Matthew 25 where Jesus says, when He comes back, there are going to be people on one side that say, Lord, look at all these things that I've done for you.
Yeah. Right.
And He said, but I don't know you. Yeah. You did all these things, but it wasn't out of worship. Yeah. It wasn't actually us doing these things together. Right. You did these things thinking you did them. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, they said, well, when did we did the same thing? And He goes, yeah, but when you did them with me. And it's just that whatever we do, whether we're serving in the house of God, whether we're at our marketplace, whether we're in a friendship, in a relationship, if we actually see that moment as acts of worship, that God's in the midst of it, it changes everything. You know, my mama used to say, you know, I was raised with certain rules, and she, you know, the big thing back in the day would be like, would you listen to that radio? Would you listen to that record if record? Do you see what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. We had records. Would you listen to that record if Jesus was in the room? Would you go to that movie if Jesus was sitting next to you in that theater? Right?
Yeah.
No, but right. And I know why they were saying.
Yeah, 8 tracks too.
I had tapes, 8 tracks, records, 38s. Yeah, it was crazy.
But the point, that point is so true.
Yeah.
Like, would you do that?
Yeah, they were doing it out of fear, but the base reality of that is true. Would you do that? And it's not even would you. Are you doing that with Jesus there? Because He wants to be. So is it an act of worship?
I think we always forget that we are kind of the hands and feet of Jesus.
Agreed.
We're not, like, if we think of all of us together as a body, the body of Christ, and not just I'm a body. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
you know
yes,
I mean?
Correct,
like,
correct.
I'm not somebody. I am part of the body of Christ.
That's
and
good, Remy.
We can always just come together as, you know, hand, feet. Sometimes one of us is a toe. I'm sorry. But, you know, you
no,
never
right.
know.
Exactly
you never
right.
know. But we all complete the body of Christ. So when someone, like the owner, you know, he's a big part, not just of the body of Christ, but he's a leader in the body of Christ, and we look up to that leader. It's actually a beautiful thing, and I love that people in power and position stand up and actually take part to be a huge influence of the body of Christ. That's a beautiful thing to see.
Absolutely.
And we, all of us as a body of Christ, we do have the ability to do the same exact thing, but actually just need to work together to understand that it's not about us. It's about representing Him.
Correct.
And looking up all the time and saying, we are being an active body of Christ. We're representing something that's way bigger than all of us. But together we can make a difference.
Agreed.
For Him.
What you value the most, you will talk about the most.
Right.
What you value the most, you will focus on the most. It's just true. You know, listening, I've been sitting next to you guys for over a year now, listening to the two of you. And the truth is, you talk about each other, not just on the radio. You talk about each other when we're off the air and, yeah. and when we're just having individual conversations because you value each other. You know, the Oscars are coming up and there will be no problem with people from Hollywood standing up there and voicing what they believe is wrong with this country and or wrong with this world or what they believe. And they do not feel bad about it. And there won't be anybody out there that said they shouldn't do it. Yeah. That it's the same.
For, oh, there will be on Twitter.
On Twitter and social media, there's always argument.
Yeah.
But you know, that's why I believe I'm the same way with you. I mean, look, if an owner's out there, if a player's out there, and they stand up and they really value who Jesus is in their life, and they say,
it's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it really is. It's awesome, and I love that. And when I see that, I'm going, yes, rise up. You know, rise up and make a difference. Because when you have that, it's such a platform, man. That's a beautiful. That's huge. And when you rise up and say something, you stand up for what you believe in, and it's something that it's not just like, oh, I believe this, or and it's a government thing or a political thing. No, you believe in the power of Jesus Christ, and you actually proclaim that to everybody and say it on such a platform in such a moment where you can take all the glory. You know,
now you're leading me into something that's coming to mind I wasn't even intending to talk about.
Please do.
Yeah, go
because
for it.
Like this is our platform. Yeah. And we get to say the things that make a difference and not just to make a statement about something that we think it's cool. No,
yes,
this
correct.
Is the power of Jesus Christ, the power that changed us
and
made us who we are today, so we can help other people come to Christ and actually see what it's like to live a life that is meaningful, that has purpose, that has it just makes sense. Life makes sense with Christ, and without him it just doesn't. I mean I was there, man. It doesn't make sense.
That's right.
You know,
you got me thinking about just the way you were talking there. So I was on the air the day Kobe Bryant passed away.
Wow.
And
oh my gosh.
I said this on the air, and I said it in the day after, but the way that day unfolded, it was the Sunday before I was flying to Miami, and I'm packing, and we got all this equipment out, and I said, I'm taking this equipment with me to the Super Bowl. I'm going to be doing shows. My girls are there. I'm like, hey, can you test out all the microphones for me? I got the four microphones. Want to see if they work, and Alexi and Melina pick up a microphone. And I just say something, and they start singing "Daddy Don't Go."
Oh,
I know.
Oh,
my heart.
Right. This is how they chose to test out my equipment. "Daddy Don't Go." So I'm finishing up packing, and then the news comes that this is Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, seven other people, and they're not other people. They're all valuable, equal, purposeful, important people. I just don't have a list of their names
viable,
in front of me.
Viable
right now.
Men and women.
Everyone is born. And it was just, it hurt so bad to see that, to know I'm leaving the next day. And now I had no intention of, like, I wasn't in the mood to do radio that day. I got to go do 4 hours. I just want to hang out with my girls. But now I saw an opportunity to where the city of Philadelphia, the Delaware Valley, was mourning the loss of a son.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I find a way. Everybody who knows me or listens to me long enough knows what I'm all about and knows what I stand for, knows that I'm a man of Christ and understands that. And that sometimes is often translated when I'm on 97.5 The Fanatic talking sports because of the way I try and come at analysis and criticism and all that stuff. I'm just not as harsh. However it is, it comes out. But that was an opportunity that day to where, like, I couldn't hold back.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
But
I couldn't
you were such a bomb.
I couldn't hold
back. You were so not bad. The bomb. You are the bomb. But you were a bomb. You were soothing.
B-A-L-M.
Yes, bro. It was providence that you were on that day. It was providence. There could have been any other radio host on that day. And anyone could have talked sports or memories of Kobe. But you brought a sense of peace. You brought a sense of Christ to that moment. Yes. So well done. And that is you stewarded the platform God gave you on that day so well.
Amen.
And I just, you know, that's not always done. I wrote something down when I was coming in. We weren't going to talk about this, but it just hit me when I was thinking about it. And I just wrote it down. If we do not speak the gospel message when we are able, then death gives us ample time for silence.
Ooh. Wow.
And
wow, so deep.
We we have to honor the platforms that we're, we've been given with one message. You know, you and I've talked about this before. Our platform isn't ours. Our platform is Jesus.
Yes.
And so we get that messed up so much. But this is the platform God gave me. No. The platform is Jesus. We have to steward the platform that is there in front of us. That the opportunity is ours. The platform is always Him. And I think that that's an amazing, you know, if we have to, even as men and women, as husbands and wives, as moms and dads, you will unlock for your children the ability for them to stand up in school.
Mm-hmm.
If you stand up in your marketplace, if you stand up in your, if they see that. So when owners, when players, when movie stars stand up and say, I just want to give praise to Jesus, it unlocks in our generation. Mm-hmm. It gives them permission in their schools to stand up and say it. So but I can't just rely on athletes, movie stars, public figures to unlock for my children. Nope. We're all parents. We need to unlock for our children.
100%.
Right? That mm-hmm. and them.
100%. Absolutely. And I came home like during that day. I was drained. It was emotional. I cried on there maybe 8 or 9 times. People cried with me.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was crying the whole time.
I was crying. I can't.
The thing is like oftentimes you don't know how people are going to receive your boldness.
Yes.
Especially on a platform like that. And when I tell you I was blown away by emails, texts, direct messages, flat-out posts on social media.
Yes, huge.
Of people appreciating that I was in that moment and that I was sharing openly and just being raw, genuine, emotional, and not afraid, unashamed to invoke Christ into the conversation and brought on a couple of guests who also, Crystal Rich from NBC Sports Philadelphia, Kevin Harvey from South Jersey,
FCA,
who were able to put their perspective on it from a, I was blown away. And to me, I realized that sometimes I question, like, why do I do certain things? Sometimes I put myself in a position, I go, I don't feel like being here. I don't feel like doing it. I know this is something that a lot of people may want to do or whatever it is, but I realize like all credit to God, all glory to the Lord because He gave me that platform and He was setting me up. We didn't know this was going to happen. He did.
Agreed.
And He was 100%. Setting me up to be there in that moment for the city and for everyone so we can mourn together.
Yes.
So we could all grieve together. So we can not just, I didn't want to just celebrate Kobe Bryant, the basketball player. I wanted to celebrate Kobe Bryant, the father, the husband, the person, the philanthropist.
Absolutely.
And He had set me up for that. So I give all the credit to God, everyone who thanked me for it. I say, hey, it's my story all the time, I say, but it's His glory.
Yeah.
And that goes back to giving credit where credit is due. It's not because of what I can do. It's because of the opportunity
that he gives me.
And He gave me that opportunity, and I was able to steward it as best as I can. Up next, we're going to hear from Kansas City Chiefs owner Clark Hunt. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti with Remy Motti and Pastor Kyle Horner. Clark Hunt's father, Lamar Hunt, was the founder of the old AFL, the American Football League, and he founded the Kansas City Chiefs. When he passed away in 2006, Clark took over, and while he's been the man in charge, the Chiefs have now made the playoffs 7 times. They won the AFC West title 5 times. They won the AFC Championship this past season, and they won a Super Bowl, giving Andy Reid his first ring as a head coach in 21 years. I had an opportunity to chat with Clark Hunt, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, in Miami on Super Bowl opening night, and here is that interview.
What did it mean to you to be able to stand on that platform and accept that trophy in the AFC Championship and give all the glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?
Well, first of all, I was just giving credit where I felt credit was due. My faith is so important to me, and I know so many members of our team, whether they're players or coaching staffs, are strong believers as well. And we all felt blessed to get to that point. But to win the game was very, very emotional for us, for my family, because we were winning the trophy that had my dad's name on it. My dad is somebody who was extremely humble, somebody who I really learned my value system from. He and my mother were strong believers, and I'll say my mother still is a strong believer. She was there with me on the platform. And as we were enjoying that moment and celebrating with the fans, I couldn't help but think about how lucky I am to be saved.
I don't know how many teams offer fans an opportunity like you guys do, and when I learned about it, I thought it was one of the most incredible things, and it is before a home game. I wish the NFL didn't have games on Sundays because it takes me away from going to church and going to service, although I know church is just a building and our relationship with the Lord is every day. But the opportunity that you give fans, if they so desire, if they choose to go to a service before home games, how important is that, and what does that mean to you to be able to do that as an owner of an NFL team?
Well, it's something that I've had in the back of my mind for many years, because the Chiefs typically play noon games on Sunday, and our fans love to tailgate, and they come hours before kickoff. And I know for many of them, they're making a decision to be there instead of going to church. So a few years ago, I suggested to our staff that we start a chapel service, and we partnered with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes to do it. And they helped us get it started, and the fans who come to that are so appreciative of it. And truthfully, as a family, we love going and being there with them and having a chance to go to a service on Sunday, which we really don't usually, because we're traveling and going to the game. So it's a blessing for everybody who gets to be part of it.
I know you're here at the Super Bowl. You want to win the championship. You want to hoist the Vince Lombardi trophy. But as a believer, you understand that win or lose, your identity isn't in championships and success. It's in the Lord. Can you speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, I sure can. And that's something that I've prayed for here the last couple of weeks, because it's easy to get wrapped up in trying to win an AFC championship or trying to win a Lombardi trophy at the Super Bowl. And those are important things, but at the end of the day, our faith is more important. And priorities in our family, it's faith, family, and football, and it's in that order. And that's something we always try to keep in perspective.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was Clark Hunt. And guys, I want to talk about one of the, and we mentioned this a little bit in the first segment, the boldness to have that church service.
Huge.
And how important it is for someone. And Remy, you were the one who mentioned, like, someone in authority, someone in a position of power. Mm-hmm. And we talk about this oftentimes, and I don't want anyone listening to lose sight of the importance of being bold for Christ, even if you're not in position of authority.
Of course.
Even if you're not a owner of an NFL football team. Mm-hmm. And my message has been, take Jesus to your marketplace, ever since our conversation back in 2016, Pastor Kyle. Wow. I don't know how many times.
That's
I
a long time ago, bro.
In different conversations. I must have mentioned your name a few times in Miami. And who was it? Jordan Masters.
J-Matt
knew you. There was a few others. Right now, my mind is going blank. Oh, Pastor Kyle, right? And taking Jesus to your marketplace does not require you to be an NFL owner. It doesn't require you to be a celebrity, athlete, entertainer. It doesn't require you to be someone in the media like I am, or a pastor like you are, or someone with a following like you have who's been on television. Anyone, all of us, can take Jesus to our marketplace right there in our little work environment, right there in our homes, in our neighborhood, to whoever it is, by looking for opportunities to where we can just share Christ with people. And I often tell people, like, it's not even about what you say sometimes.
Correct.
It's about how you live your life, how people see you living, Christ's reflection in you, and sometimes how you respond to adversity, sometimes how you react.
Everything's a message.
Everything. And then people will want to know. They'll come to you. So there are opportunities, but when there is an opportunity to stand up and be bold, seize it. Don't be afraid. Go for it.
You know, this is so funny, but recently this has been happening a lot. You know, we all share on social media. Like, we all day, every day, yes, about, like, the dumbest things, right? So I make it a point. Sorry. I apologize. But I make it a point to share stuff that would actually kind of help people out.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it helps me out.
Yes, being selective. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And sometimes I just feel like everything that comes my way, I'm one of those people that just, I see it as a sign from God telling me to do something for someone, because it always puts people on my mind.
Yes.
Always, all the time. So I would come across like a worship song or something, and I'd be like, you know what? I feel like someone out there needs this. I don't know who, but this came in front of me, so I'm going to share it. I share it, and next thing you know, I get a text message.
Absolutely.
From someone that goes, you have no idea, but the second I opened Facebook and I saw that worship song and I clicked on it, I was crying my eyes out, because that is exactly what I needed, and I felt that Jesus sent you to send that to me in that moment. Oh, and so I was beautiful. Like,
that's how you steward it.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it's awesome.
And that's all it takes, being active and just like listening to that small, still voice inside of you saying, share that.
Yes.
Do that. I know it's kind of, you know, oh, yeah, she's sharing gospel stuff again. She's sharing Jesus again. Yes. Yes. I will continue to do so.
Absolutely.
Because it's actually helping someone out there, and it's better than a cat video, in my opinion.
And it helps you, right? At the end, it helps you too, right? You're like, I'm going to put that out there. Although, don't be bad-mouthing my panda videos. Right. No, I would agree. People ask me all the time, like, I get it, Pastor, but how do I do that? I mean, I get it how the players do that. Yeah, I get it how the owners do that. They have bigger, how do I do that? And, I usually just tell them a story about when I was, many of us probably can relate to this. My first middle school dance, right? If you've ever gone to a middle school dance.
Oh boy, I want to see pictures.
No, you do not. No, you do not. You know, the boys stand on one side of the room, the girls stand on the other side of the room, right? There's really no one in the middle. The DJ's playing or whatever. And, that's usually how the night goes. And I remember I was so afraid to kind of walk across and ask this one girl to dance. And it was a girl that, you know, when you're in sixth grade, you have a crush on, right? You know, that's a crush. And I was so worried she didn't like me. And, you know, my boys kind of, oh, you gotta go. So I just walked across the room and I asked her to dance, and she was like, sure. And we started dancing. She was like, as we were walking out there, she was like, I was hoping all night you would ask me to dance.
Aww.
And I'm sitting over there being so afraid, right? That she's going to reject me, all those things.
Right.
And so all that I would say is, walk across the room.
Yes.
Have the just walk across the room, and whatever that looks like in your world, right? Walk across the office and say, hey, can we go get, you know, you want to grab a cup of coffee? Can I buy a cup of coffee? Can I, you know, can we chat during break? Can I take you out for lunch? Walk across the room and then I'm with you, Remy. You know, the Holy Spirit always drops stuff.
Yeah.
They just does. So, you know, walk across the room and just, that's boldness.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be an NFL player. You don't have to be an NFL owner. You don't have to be a movie star.
No.
Just be who you're called to be and walk across the room. And
hey, it'd be great to be an NFL owner, but there's only 32 of those guys.
No doubt.
That's so true. There's only 32 of them, but there's a million of, like, whatever, billions of us.
Yeah.
So we got to do something. And, you know, this week, something kept saying, like, when you're close, he whispers. And I kept just, that kept repeating in my soul, like, over and over. If you're close, he whispers.
Yes.
And that just, like, it kept reminding me, just get close to him. And when you get closer, he whispers those things to you that you're like, that is just so, it's so small, but so,
good.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
You know,
so
just, he whispers when you're close. And so I invite all of you to be just a little closer, and me too, because I'm definitely, that's a challenge for me.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. Look for those opportunities and seize those opportunities, because we all make an impact in our own little world.
Absolutely.
Every single one of us can make an impact on any kind of level. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University, Rob Remy, and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our previous episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every past show from the last 3 years and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also now on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. If you can, please like, share, download, all of that great stuff. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode and blog delivered right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our personal social media at Rob Motti on all of my platforms except Instagram, where it's at Real Rob Motti. Remy is at Remy Motti, M-A-A-D-D-I, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful sponsors who make this happen. Great businesses. Check them out on our website, Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Rastelli Foods Group, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, Rick Santella, the Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Norristown Hospitality Center, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. And of course, thank you to all of our listeners and our followers. Thank you to all the guests who come on the show each and every week. Big thank you to Doug Horton for handling all of our business. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, and blog. Jim Henderson, thanks for the work behind the scenes. And thank you to our producer, Ryan. And of course, thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
I raise a hallelujah.